Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast.
The Magna Carta of Christian Liberty. We're starting today a brand new series on the book of Galatians. We're going to go through roughly chapter by chapter as we work through Galatians. And this is a letter that Paul wrote to a church in Galatia. Let me talk to you about Galatians for a minute. I got my stool out. I'm supposed to teach this book a little bit, so I'm going to see how long it lasts before I get too stirred up and start preaching it. But I want to talk to you for a few minutes about this book of Galatia. So Galatia is an area that Paul had planted churches in. He plants these churches in the area of Galatia between AD 45 and AD 48. He writes this book to them in AD 49. Some people think it might have been closer to 55. I think it was the earlier, around 49. And it's not a specific city or singular church like some of his other letters. This letter was written to an area kind of like the Pacific Northwest is. It's an area that had multiple churches. And as he had planted all these churches and then leaves, a year later he writes this letter. And it's, I love it, the title, this Magna Carta of the Christian Liberty. Why it's titled that and why many people for generations have seen the book of Galatians that way is because when Paul wrote the book of Romans, it was a very offensive book telling people what the gospel is. Where in Galatians, he writes this book more on a defensive mindset. So there's an offensive book like Romans, and then there's a defensive book like Galatians. And he's defending the faith or defending the gospel because people have started to come at the gospel of Jesus and the gospel of grace. And so he writes this book in defense going, what are you doing? That is not what the gospel of Jesus is. Let me defend the Christian faith and the gospel that Jesus came to preach. In Galatians 1, 6, and 7, Paul starts pretty strong. He has a pretty short intro, and he jumps right into it. He goes, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you into the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. I am astonished. I was just there. We just planted these churches. I was just preaching to you. I was just there outlaying all of what the gospel of Jesus is. And a year later, I'm writing you this letter because you have left the gospel, the message, the news of Jesus. Now, this word gospel, we don't use it a ton in our world today, in our vernacular, but when they were using it, it was because they didn't have Twitter, they didn't have Instagram, they didn't have news. And so they would send heralds in front of the army or heralds in front of the king to announce good news. Like, we won the battle. You have your freedom, you have your safety, announcing good news that a victory had been won. That's the gospel. So when Jesus shows up, he goes, I got a gospel. I got good news. My good news is that the kingdom of God has come. That's the good news Jesus came teaching. And he says, you have access into the kingdom. Now, it's got to be good to be a gospel. Too many of us today in the church, too many Christians aren't proclaiming good news. We're proclaiming news, but it ain't good. I got a message. You need to live in condemnation. I got a message. You got to live in works. I got a message. You better act right. Don't lie. Don't drink. Don't smoke. Don't party. Don't listen to good music. Don't talk. Don't have good friends. Burden, burden, burden. That is not a good message. That's not good news. No one wants to hear that news. But Jesus shows up with good news that you have access into the kingdom of God. For thousands of years, they have been trying. They've been going through hundreds of laws to live up, to be good enough. And he goes, no, none of the laws worked. None of the ways that you tried to get access worked, but I got good news. I'm here and I brought the kingdom of God with me, and now you have access into it. Now, here's what happens in the churches in Galatia. Judaizers, which were Jewish people who had semi-acknowledged Jesus as Christ, but said, listen, Jesus is good, but he's not enough. You need to follow Jesus, plus you need to follow our Old Testament laws if you want to be saved. So they showed up to this church telling all the men, you got to get circumcised. Not a new thing for us. We don't really push that around here. That's not part of our church membership program. Come on, somebody. Can I get an amen? But in that day, in that culture, there was many things in their culture that they valued works related. And while we don't value the same things, we still value things. We still are no different. We might not focus on the same things they focused on, but we still focus on stuff. You better read your Bible enough. You can't listen to that. You can't have tattoos. You can't drink. You can't smoke. You can't do this. And all these things that we can't do and all these lists of things we're supposed to do. You better do this. You better do that. You better do this. And Paul is like, you have left the gospel of grace and you have been lost into these new Judaizers that say it's Jesus plus. Jesus and the cross plus your works. Jesus and the cross plus your circumcision. Jesus and the cross plus you got to attend temple. You got to go to the synagogue. You got to do this. You got to sacrifice that. You got to do all of your work plus. And Paul is like, are you kidding me? How have you lost this good news, this message, this gospel that I'm supposed to be sitting down. I'm all stirred up already. How quickly do we leave the gospel? And Paul says, listen, you've totally left the message. It was Jesus is enough. Jesus is the finished work. You understand that by finished work, it means finished. Finished means finished. And how many of us show up to Jesus? We say, yeah, he's the finished work. It's his cross. He's done it all. He paid the price. But let me help him a little bit. I gotta do my part too. I gotta act right, I gotta talk right, I gotta look right. And so here's the problem. None of us are perfect. Surprise. And so when we mess up, we attempt to hide it as if hiding it means it doesn't exist. So what we end up living in is a world where I look perfect to you, but Jesus still sees the stuff. And so what we've actually done is I don't care how Jesus thinks, I just care how you think. And Paul is like, what is happening? I showed up, we planted these churches, I proclaimed the good news, which is the finished work of Jesus is enough. What he did on that cross was enough. I don't need you to do anything. I don't need you to look a certain way, talk a certain way, act a certain way. I don't need you to fake it. I don't need you to hide your stuff. I don't need any of that because Jesus already did all of it. And so you don't need to add your works to what Jesus did to get saved. And I know most of us, we want to love Jesus. We want to be great Christians. So we wouldn't say it with this much clarity, but our lifestyle and the way we judge ourselves and the way we judge others says that we've allowed this toxic thinking to creep its way into our religion because we think, well, Jesus saved me, but I still got to act right. Jesus saved me, but I can't do that. Jesus saved me, but I can't look that way. I can't watch that show. I can't listen to that music. I can't. And we allow our thinking that says, I have to do my part, and Jesus does his part. There is no parts. It's Jesus, Jesus, and Jesus. He did it all. I just gotta get on with what he already did. I don't have to add to it. In fact, it's finished, so I can't add to it. It's the finished work of Jesus. He did it all on the cross. That's the good news, that you have access into his presence, not because you earned it, not because you deserved it, not because you're good enough, not because you act the part or look the part, or you're in the right family, or you're the right background, or you're gonna be called to the... No, you have access into his presence and it has nothing to do with you. But that's the problem, is that we want it to be because of us. Why? Because we get a little prideful. We get a little arrogant. We get a little self-centered. We want to say, no, but look at how much I've earned and look at how much I've deserved and look at how good I am and look at... That's our flesh crawling back into our salvation and trying to make it about us when it's always only been about Jesus. So these Judaizers, these Jewish people that tried to blend Jesus and the Old Testament to, I need Jesus, I also need the Old Testament, bring a new religion. And this is what Paul says, which I think is profound, right here in the beginning of this verse. He says, I am astonished that you so quickly deserted. Here, throw that back up for me. Galatians 1:6. So quickly, you deserting him. Now that deserted word, if you look it up in the Greek, it actually has a political or a military background to it. So Paul is making a claim here that they would have seen in their language. It goes, wow, this is a military term, meaning you are leaving one group and joining a new group. I am deserting this political party and I'm joining another political party. I am bailing on this army to join this army. I'm leaving my group to join a new, I'm deserting. And Paul goes, you have deserted Jesus and his gospel for a new diluted gospel of works. The problem is you don't get to bring Jesus with you to the new message. How many Christians today are living in condemnation, living under fear, living under a burden, living under a list of do's and don'ts, and we think that Jesus is in that group, but we've deserted the true group. We've deserted the true gospel. We've left Jesus's group. We joined a religious group that says, if you act this way, talk this way, look this way, worship this way, then that's what Jesus is about. We're like, no, Paul says, no, you've deserted Jesus. You abandoned Jesus, and he didn't come with you. He didn't join the religious group. He didn't join the group with a burden. He didn't join the group full of fear and condemnation and works. No, he's still in his gospel that says, it's all from me, by me. I did it all for you. You just freely receive. And you have deserted his gospel for a different one. What is the gospel that you're following? And I hear some religious people in here today, you're getting stressed. Because you're going, preacher, you're gonna mess a lot of people up because you give them too much freedom, they're gonna wild out. Wow. You give people freedom, they're gonna take it, they're gonna go too far with it. What? You give all these young people right here freedom, they're gonna start drinking and smoking and snorting and partying and shaking and, well, if me removing the list of do's and don'ts empowers you to sin, you never had Jesus to begin with. And for the person attempting to put lists and burdens and religion on people, you also don't have Jesus. Oh, that one should have gotten a better clap. I'm not gonna lie. A little upset. Y'all are like, uh-oh, what are we going to do? What, too much freedom. That's the point. Works and rules and condemnation, that does not bring people to Jesus. No. See, when you truly encounter Jesus, you don't need a list. When you really encounter the presence of God, you don't need the what can I and can't I do. So, we can remove that list. There is no condemnation in Christ. So if you ever feel condemnation, it's not from Jesus. Now there's conviction. The Holy Spirit convicts us. Like, hold up. Don't get angry. Don't go that way. I'm gonna convict you, but I'm not gonna condemn you. There's no condemnation. And so when we remove condemnation from people, it does not empower them to sin more. What it does is it empowers them to follow Jesus more. Because when you encounter the trueness of Jesus, all you want to do is have more. And when you have more of Jesus, he doesn't lead you to the club. And when you have more of Jesus, he ain't gonna lead you to that drug dealer on the corner, like, hey, I got a little hit on the way. No, he ain't lead you to anger or fear or condemnation. He won't lead you to that show that's inappropriate, but it's not, you don't not watch the show because I'm a Christian, I can't watch that. You don't watch it because Jesus wouldn't watch it, and you're following him because you love him so passionately, so much that in your freedom, you choose something healthy. Too many of us, and for too long, churches have centered on lists of do's and don'ts out of fear of rebellion and fear of sin. I'm here to tell you today, when you encounter Jesus, you don't have to fear sinning. You just follow Jesus. When you encounter Jesus, you go, I want more of him. I want more of that love. I want more of that anointing. I want more of his joy. I want more of his peace. And as you follow, he leads you to becoming more and more and more and more holy, not because you're afraid of not being holy, but because you passionately want more of him. Walk in freedom. There is no condemnation in Christ. But so many of us, like this church. And honestly, I think it starts from a healthy desire to go, how can I be more like Jesus? How can I have him in my life? And then a person goes, well, if you want more of Jesus, you better act right. If you want more of Jesus, you better read your Bible. If you want more of Jesus, you better worship right. You want more of Jesus. And all of a sudden, we start getting more and more guilt-driven, more and more burdened, more and more list-oriented because, like, well, if I do want Jesus, so I better do that. I want Jesus, so I better do that. I want Jesus, so I better. And all of a sudden, you look back and realize you've totally abandoned his gospel and are following the gospel of man, and are living condemned, fearful, anxious, depressed, worrisome. And Paul is going, what happened? You left the whole gospel and started following a different one. Because these Judaizers show up and tell you what you can and can't do. And we don't have Judaizers in our church today or in the world today, but we still have people attempting to tell you how you should or shouldn't follow Jesus. But my Bible says there's no condemnation. So follow Jesus. Walk in freedom. Be released. And if in your freedom you want to sin more, you just simply haven't met Jesus. And so me forcing you to follow a list has not met you, has not helped you encounter Jesus. It just helped you live fearful. So I might as well take the rules off, take the guardrails off and go, listen, until you encounter Jesus, you're lost. But once you do, you'll be found and you'll live holy and you'll live righteous because you want to, not because I'm forcing you to. Too often in the church, I had friends like this. We went to Christian school. I had a friend, his parents were so strict. The list of do's and don'ts were deep. You know what I'm talking about? Just that. You mess up, you're getting whooped. Whoopings. Come on, somebody. We don't do that anymore in the culture, but we could bring them back a little bit. And when he got out of the house, he was gone. Why? Because there was never a relationship. There was just rules. There was just rules. I remember growing up, he was one of my best friends. There was a few of us that were close. I remember moving out. He was going crazy. I was still called Dad. Dad, what should I do? I'm a grown man. I have my own house. I'm paying light bill, which I didn't know existed until I moved out. I was like, what is this? Water's not free? When did this change? Calling Dad. Hey, Dad, you want help on this water bill? It looks Puget Sound. I don't know what this is about. This is of the devil up in here. I thought this was free. You've been covering this the whole time? Praise God. Trying to stay on the family plan. You know, come on, how many of us young adults are still on the family plan? Praise God. Yeah. It's cheaper, Dad, if you keep me. Trying to put Willow on his family plan. But when I moved out, I still would call Dad for advice. Why? Because there was a relationship. Not rules, not control, not condemnation, not you better and you only, and if only, and if you're my son, you better do this, and if you do this, then you'll earn it and you'll keep it. No, there was a connection, and because of that connection, I wanted the connection to keep growing, and it led me in freedom to make healthy choices. God wants to have a relationship with you, not control of you. What's the gospel that you follow? If you're following the gospel of Christ, not the gospel of man, not these Judaizers, not the works-minded, not the religious-minded, but the gospel of Jesus, it always only centers around Jesus. Jesus is the center. He's the core. It's Jesus and his works. It follows that by grace through faith alone, not grace, faith, and your good works, not grace, faith, and your name, not grace, faith, and my parents were saved, not grace, faith, plus I've earned it, I deserve it, or I tithe enough, or I serve it. No, just grace, faith, period. The gospel of Christ calls sinners into a realm of grace. The idea of you adding to grace violates and voids grace. The whole premise of grace is that you didn't earn it or deserve it. And so your attempt to earn it nullifies its whole thing. The gospel of Jesus calls sinners into a realm of grace. And the gospel of Jesus produces freedom, sonship, and a new creation. Here's my, the gospel that you're following, what has it been producing? Look in your own life. What has it produced? Fear, condemnation, doubt, shame, guilt, rules, law. I'm good enough. I'm not good enough. I'm better than them. Not good as them. Is it? Do you see Christianity on a scale? I'm a good Christian compared to those people, but a bad Christian compared to that person. Where's your level? Because we could all find those scales. Like, well, you know, I'm better than that guy, but I'm worse than that guy. Like, if I'm comparing myself to Casey Treat, I'm not really good. But if I'm comparing myself to that guy at Sober Recovery, praise God, I'm a revivalist. Is there a scale for your Christianity? What is the gospel that you're following? Because if you're following the gospel of Jesus, it produces sonship. And it produces freedom. And it ultimately produces new creation. Are you new in Christ? Yes. Well, are you following his gospel? Because if there's not newness in your life, then that means you must be following a different gospel. Are you following a gospel of works, a gospel of fear, a gospel of control, a gospel made up by man's attempt to minimize the finished work of Jesus and maximize your own effort? What is the gospel that you're following? And more importantly, what is it producing? Here, go with me to Galatians 3, 1 through 3. Paul just drops bangers after bangers all through Galatians. Says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? That's so strong. Who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Yo, that is strong. Oh, who has bewitched you? Who has thrown a spell on you? Did you receive salvation by your works or by your faith? Okay, by your faith. Then why did you change from believing to working? You come to Jesus through faith and you stay with Jesus by faith. It's not a switch, it's not a bait and switch. It's not a get to me from your faith and then whoop, switched Old Testament law. Come believing and then whoop, now you gotta act right, believe right, serve right, give right. No, how did you get to Jesus? By my faith. Great, stay there. Wait, so I don't have to come to church in a three-piece suit and, oh, hello, my brother. What are we doing? Why are we hiding? Why are we faking? No, how you got to Jesus was through faith. Stay there. Stop switching it to now I gotta act right, act different, act fake, act phony, cover my stuff, hide my stuff, act like I'm perfect, act like I don't struggle, act like we're perfect. How many of us argued on the way to church and you're walking around church holding your wife's hand like, oh, blessed and highly favored? Dog. I'm not trying to start more fights. I'm trying to bring peace, but we just walking around faking. Paul says, how did you get here? By faith? Why did you change? Why did you shift? I went and grabbed 10 bucks at Starbucks. And I gotta give these away. 10 bucks, which buys like half a drink nowadays. You know what I'm talking about? These things are getting crazy. Here you go, man. Hey, what did you do to deserve that, though? Nothing. He did nothing. I like your hat, by the way. Let's go, Harleys. He did nothing to earn it or deserve it. Just freely given. Okay, so do you think he's going to call me this week and be like, hey, where do you think I could spend this? Do you think he's going to have any pressure on him to pick the right drink? Well, I don't know if he likes these drinks. Do you think he's going to prove to his friends this week why I picked him? I gotta show that I was honestly the best person in the room. There's a burden on me to prove why I got this gift. It wasn't free. It wasn't random. It was a reason. Was he praying this morning and God told him, make sure that you pick the fifth row, two in? No, there's nothing spiritual about it. There's nothing, and he doesn't have to earn those. It's not like I'm gonna call this week, but hey, were you good this week before I want those gift cards back? You better act right or I'm gonna get those 10 bucks back. No, he can get whatever he wants. Do you think I'm gonna pressure him to make sure, oh, you only can drink what I drink, just iced Americanos, dog. No Frappuccinos up in here on me. Those are way too enjoyable. And honestly, I'm gonna guilt you into giving those away now. You shouldn't keep those for yourself. You don't deserve that. You should just throw it away because, you know, you're... No, as a gift, he should use it. You were given a gift from God. And most Christians spend more time arguing why they got the gift and less time using it. We spend more of our time proving to others that we were worthy of the gift. We deserved it. We earned it. I'm gonna add to it. Look at all the stuff I've done in my life. Look at how worthy I am. Look at how good I am. Man, I'm the front row person. I'm the real saved hand lifter. Come on, somebody. Not the, I'm still getting their hand lifter. Right. I'm on the dream team. I tithe every month. Those are good things, but some people use that to qualify themselves as opposed to a byproduct of God moving in their life. And so we make all these arguments as to why we received the gift, and few of us actually utilize or use it. We need to spend less time trying to prove why we deserve to be saved and more time walking in our salvation. You were given a gift of salvation through your faith, not your works. You didn't earn this. You didn't deserve this. This was a free gift from Jesus by our faith. Through his grace, we've been saved. So now walk in that health. Walk in that wholeness, walk in that victory, walk in that anointing, walk in that righteousness, walk in the anointing of God on your life because he already gave you the gift, so you don't have to prove to him that he gave it to a good person or a worthy person or a righteous person or I'm better than that person, Jesus, so that was a good thing you gave it to me. He, shut up, you were broken when he showed up. He just freely gave it, and too many of us spend more of our lifetime defending the gift and less of our time using the gift. How sad would it be if we get to heaven and God's like, man, you got one coffee on an unlimited card. I gave you an unlimited gift, and you used it once. You should have used that more. You should have loved more. You should have walked in grace more. You should have walked in health and in freedom and in wholeness. You should have accessed my presence more. Why were you so stuck proving why you deserved the gift and why did you never use it? See, that's the message that they left. That message, the Judaizers showed up and they're like, it's works and it's circumcision and it's law and it's Old Testament. I got to live right and act right. And Paul is like, what is happening? Who has bewitched you? This was a gift. Did you get it through faith? Yes. Stay in faith. And so many of us today still live in that condemnation, in that fear, in that guilt, in that shame. We hide our drama. We hide our brokenness. We hide our flaws. We act like we're perfect around friends. And God is like, would you be honest? Would you be open? Would you allow my healing access into the darkest parts of your life? Stop hiding because I'm not gonna take my presence from you just because you're broken. I already know you're broken. So many of us treat God like a doctor at the hospital. We show up and the doctor's like, what's wrong? You're like, nothing. Totally good. Why are you here, dog? I don't know, maybe just read my mind and figure out what's hurting. We hide all of our stuff. I'm fine. Marriage is good. I have no struggles. I have no issues. I have no dramas. God's like, when are you gonna get honest with me, bro? You don't have to earn this or deserve this. I already gave it freely. Now enter into a relationship with me so that I could bring wholeness and I could bring healing and I could bring freedom to those addictions and those chained areas. Open up so you can be honest. Your perfection is not what got you saved, so attempting to keep perfection won't keep you saved. Paul is going, what is happening? Who bewitched you? It's faith, it's not works. And so many of us, because we feel condemned, condemn others. Because we're fearful, put fear on others. Because we don't think we're doing enough, we want everyone else to feel that same way. I'm not doing enough, so neither are you. I'm not good enough, and neither are you. I feel like I need to do more, so you need to do more too. No. Take the burden, take the list off. And when you enter into a relationship with Jesus, you're gonna be so desperate, so hungry, so passionate about pursuing him. You won't have time to sin. You won't have the desire to sin. The appetite for sin will begin to drift, not because you're not supposed to, because of the list of do's and don'ts, but because of the passionate pursuit you have for Jesus. Here, Ben, why don't you come onto the stage with me? In Acts 16, 25 through 31, you know, I got time. Let's read that. It says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. So Paul and Silas are locked up in jail. And suddenly there was a great earthquake. So the foundation of the prison was shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bonds were unfastened. When the jailer woke and saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing that all the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And the jailer called for lights and rushed in, trembling with fear. He fell down before Paul and Silas. Then he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What do I got to do? Isn't that most of our questions still today? What do I have to do? And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." But what do I gotta do? You just have to believe. Isn't that what we're asking today? What do I have to do? Tomorrow, what should I do? Tuesday, what should I do? This week, what should I do? I hear you, I don't wanna live in condemnation. I don't wanna live in works. I don't wanna live in that rigid, do this, don't do that. But what do I do? That's what you do, you believe. You believe. Is that anything? Yeah, trust me. When you start believing, it impacts everything else you do. All that you do will be impacted by your beliefs. Here's why. When you believe Jesus, then you start to trust Jesus. And as your trust in Jesus grows, your obedience to Jesus follows. I believe, I trust, I obey. And as I follow Jesus, as I obey Jesus, from my beliefs, I start living like him, looking like him, sounding like him, walking like him. But if your attempt is to look like Jesus before you believe and before you trust, you're simply trying to prove through your actions that you're like him and not through your trust that you're like him. It's going to be works-minded. And when you do it backwards, it's gonna lead to fear and condemnation and guilt and shame and worry. But when you believe and you go, "Jesus, I believe. I believe." Like the song we sang, "I believe in you, Jesus. You did it all for me. You did it all. You didn't do some of it. You didn't do the hard stuff. You didn't do part of it. You didn't get me to the 1 yard line. No, you did it all. You went all the way." And as we believe, we trust. And as we trust, then we'll obey. But that obedience begins to flow out of a desire or a love, or can I even say a pursuit of Jesus, not a guilt from us. It's not guilt. It's not shame. It's not fear that should be the motivation in your life. It's a pursuit after Jesus because I just love him so much. Because I believe. I trust. Because I trust, I obey. Religion always tries to skip the steps and get you to obeying, but obeying their list. Do this, do this, do this. Would you skip all that? Would you throw that all away? Would you bail on that group? Would you leave that denomination? Would you stop attending that gospel and come back to the gospel of grace that Jesus preached, which is it's by grace and faith alone. And when you believe, everything else in your life begins to flow out of you, not from guilt, not from shame, not from condemnation, but because you simply love Jesus. And through your pursuit of him, you begin to look more like him, sound more like him, talk more like him, live more like him. That fear of the religious group that says, well, if we remove the limits, they're gonna start to sin. That's untrue, because when you encounter Jesus, the last thing you want is trash. When you encounter Jesus, you want the authentic, real life. And real life is free. Real life is full of joy. Real life walks in peace. Real life has an anointing on your life that only Jesus can offer. And when you encounter him, when you encounter that fake, perverted substitute that the devil has to offer will never satisfy what you were ultimately created for.
Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.